Scripture reading is going to be from Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her."
It's wonderful to be with you this morning, and I hope you're all doing well and having a great first day of the week so far. Also, I want to thank all of those who are tuning in online. I hope the message today will be both encouraging and uplifting to you. Also, I want the congregation here to know my goal is to try to visit as many people as I can during this, especially this week. My main goal is to visit all of our seniors this month. And then when my wife and my family permanently move to the house, I'm going to try to visit all of the families of the congregation here starting in January. So if there are some folks here that don't mind me bugging them this week, please let me know after the service is over, and I will try to come out and get to visit with you. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn over to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 32. This is going to be our main passage that we're going to be looking at today. Before we look at that, I want to say this. If there is one thing that drives us insane, if there is one thing that we cannot stand, if there is one thing that makes us uncomfortable, it is... You already guessed it. Somebody already guessed that. That's right, silence, silence. You know, 9 years ago, I remember calling my future wife for the very first time. And on my lap was a list of topics to talk about. Because one of the things that I feared most was that awkward silence at the end of a conversation. So I was nervous. I got the courage worked up. I called Carrie, and I had my list there. I was ready, and the whole conversation lasted 5 minutes, and at the end there was that awkward silence. Oh, the thing I didn't want. I guess what I found out was she was at an amusement park. She had just gotten off a ride and was sick from that ride. And so every question I had, she gave me a yes or no answer. I thought, oh no, that's the end of that. I'm never going to hear from her again. But luckily she called me back a couple of days later. But we don't like silence. We live in a culture that does not know what to do with being silent or being still. In the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all of the earth be silent before Him." Now for me, that presents a problem, because silence drives me crazy. And then you have Psalm 37 and verse 7, where we are told, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Again, I have trouble with this verse, because it is hard to be still and it is hard to be patient. And then Psalm 46 and verse 10, we are told, "Be still and know that I am God." In our culture, we don't like to be still. We don't like to be quiet, and we don't like to be silent. I don't know what happened. Maybe it was the fault of my parents. If your parents were like mine, they would constantly say to me, "Isaiah, be quiet, be still, and behave." Those are the words I heard all the time. But you know, when I grew up, when we grow up, what did we do? We rebel, didn't we? We don't like to be quiet, and we don't like to be still. We live a life that is busy, active, and restless. We have this feeling that if we are not doing something, saying something, planning something, then we are not being productive. And if we are not being productive, then we are wasting our time. A generation or two ago, the life of the family was going to be revolutionized by the automatic washing machine. You know, up until then, cleaning the family's laundry, from what I understood, literally took an entire day. And people refer to this one day as, any of you know? Yeah, wash day. That's right, wash day. And then came that washing machine, right, where you throw all of your clothes into this machine, push a button, and then you do something else. What a time saver that was. So what happened? Did we get more time to relax? Did we become more still and quiet? No, we just find something else to do, right? Then the computer was intended to do the same thing. It enables us to do more work in less time. Let me ask you, how many of you have gotten out of work early because of the computer? Anybody? Nobody? What happened? We just simply do more work. There is something within us that compels us to fill up every moment of our time. When we're not working, our families are stretched out to the limit as we take them from one event to the next. It's as if we are afraid as to what might happen if we just become still for a moment. Now, if you think this is just a modern problem, think again. Today we're going to take a look at the story about Mary and Martha. Jesus comes to their home. Mary is content to be still and silent with the Lord, but you see, Martha can't do that. She has to be busy all the time. In the words of the New Testament, she becomes distracted and upset by many things. I believe this verse describes where many of us are at. And you know, sometimes we just need to be still with Jesus. I want to begin by looking at the characters in our chapter. Mary and Martha are two sisters who invited Jesus to their home. And what I love about this story is that you can either relate to Mary or you can relate to Martha. You're either rooting for Team Mary, go Mary, or you are rooting for Team Martha. You will either think that Mary is a lazy bum who should be helping out her sister, or you will think that Mary is doing the right thing by paying attention to their very important guests. On the other side of the coin, you might think that Martha is a perfectionist who doesn't enjoy company unless the house is perfect and everything is the way it should be. How many of you relate to Martha? Several of you? Okay, that's good. And then, you know, you might be someone who said, you know, you might be with Martha, and you might be somebody who says, well, you know, somebody's got to prepare the meal, right? Somebody's got to get all those things done. That would be my wife. I would say she is for Team Martha. But so let's take a look at verses 38 and 39. While they were traveling, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. Can you imagine how great it would be to have Jesus enter into your home? Here they have two opportunities. For Mary, she has the opportunity to sit down and listen to Jesus. How wonderful would that be And then it's for Martha. Martha sees it as an opportunity to serve Jesus. The question I want to ask you is, which one are you? Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? If you could have Jesus in your home, would you spend your time frantically cleaning the house and getting the meal prepared? Or would you be someone who is more like Mary, who would be happy to sit down and to talk and to listen to Jesus? If you're for Team Martha, let me tell you, you can feel that anger burning. It's building. As she's doing all this work, and Mary, what's she doing? She's just sitting there, not lifting a finger. And you know what? I bet you Martha made some sounds to get Mary's attention, don't you? You know, all of a sudden, Martha's walk turns into a stomp, right? As she goes into that living room, that dining room. And I bet you in the kitchen, what's Martha doing? She's got those pans. She's banging them as loudly as she can bang them. She's trying to get some signals across, you know, to Mary. And then I bet you Martha's breathing got very heavy, you know, when she went into the room. All of a sudden, you know, that breathing is heavy. And I tell you this, I'm sure Mary got the stare of death. Guys, do you know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one? Oh, boy. I'm pretty sure, you know, she got that stare. You know, it's the look. You better get up. You better get up and do something. Yeah. But you can feel that tension. It's building. All the signs, though, were missed. Jesus continues to teach, and her sister just sits there, mesmerized, hanging on every word. And then verse 40 is the breaking point. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked the Lord, she said, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Tell her to give me a hand." What can we learn from these two sisters? I think there's a lot of great lessons we can take in. I want to first of all look at some lessons we can learn from Martha. After approaching Jesus, this is where it gets awkward. You know, Martha is fuming. Mary is sitting there like a lazy bum. What can we learn from Martha? First of all, I think we can learn a lesson about anger from Martha. You know, the Bible does not say that it's wrong to get angry. You know, and I would even say that there are some occasions where we should get angry. We need to get angry about immorality. We need to get angry about crime in our city. We need to be angry about sin. We need to be angry with the fact that there are people who are without the gospel, and we need to do everything we can to reach them. There are some things we need to be angry about. When you look at Jesus, Jesus at times got angry. He became angry when the temple was used for making money rather than being used as a place for worship. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, Paul says, "In your anger, do not sin." He didn't say that it's wrong to get angry. He just says when you get angry, don't sin when you do it. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. You see, the problem for us is how we handle our anger. And you know, Martha, she came out of that kitchen boiling hot mad. She was angry. How can Mary just leave me to fend for myself? Have you ever been around people that get mad? You know, there are some people who you don't want to be anywhere in the neighborhood when they get angry. The explosion may not kill you, but the shrapnel will, right? You know, you just want to get out of there because when they get mad, oh boy, you know, they take out their frustration on everyone and everything. Here's some wisdom from the Bible on anger. "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. James 1, verses 19 through 20. And then in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24, it says, do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. The next time you get angry, I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I focused in on the Savior, or am I focused on the situation? When you look at what happened to Martha, she became focused in on the situation instead of being focused in on the Savior. And she ended up getting angry over things she shouldn't have been angry about. And then the second lesson I see from Martha is that she lost sight of what was truly important. She said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Tell her to give me a hand. Whether you side for Mary or whether you side for Martha, we have a problem. Martha is so preoccupied by her duties that she is missing out with the Lord. Do any of you know the difference between the urgent and the important? You know, urgent things tend to scream in our ear and give us an upset stomach until we do them, while the important things tend to remain quietly in the corner. We have yard work, housework, phone calls to make. We have email, Facebook, Twitter, texting, all these things that can swallow up our time and our attention. Urgent things, I'm telling you, they can pull us away from the important things in life. To put this point into the context of our story, let me ask you, was Martha sinning by working in the kitchen? I don't believe that she was. I don't think she was doing anything wrong by doing that. She just allowed the urgency of preparing a meal for Jesus to interfere with the importance of spending time with Him. When we get busy, what's usually the first thing that goes? Isn't it our time with Jesus? I want you to notice an important word in verse 40. The word is distracted. Why don't we read our Bibles more? Why don't we pray more? Why are we missing church? What's the most common answer that you hear? I'm busy. Well, let me tell you, if you're too busy for the things that are spiritual and important, you got the same problem that Martha had. It's amazing to me that the fact that we have an unchecked email can scream louder in our ear than the fact that we have not checked into the Lord in prayer. It's been hours since we looked at our Facebook page. Oh, no! We think we're missing out, but we can let hours and hours go by without ever looking at our Bibles. Important matters need to come before the urgent matters. And then in the passage, I notice something else. Martha has allowed the situation to take away the joy of serving Jesus. Can you imagine how joyful it would be to fix Jesus a meal? Now, I want you to know, for me, I can't cook. I'm a horrible cook. I gave myself food poisoning last week. I don't know what happened. I am terrible. I'm just so lucky I got a wife that can cook. You know, if Carrie isn't around, I don't know what, you know, I'm really in trouble. And, you know, I'd be nervous if Jesus came to me and said, Isaiah, I'm going to your house. Oh, boy. I don't know what I would do. I tell you what I would do. I'd be firing up that grill I have. I'm pretty decent on my grill. And I would present to Jesus the best hamburgers that I can possibly make. But anyhow, I'm going to tell you, Martha was doing valuable work. But she was so focused on what Mary was doing that she forgot about what she was doing for the Lord. This should have been a joyful opportunity. Here Mary has this chance. She gets to serve Jesus. But by worrying about Mary, the opportunity turned into something that made her mad. Have you ever felt like Martha? Have you ever said, or have you ever gotten upset? Oh, I'm the only one that does anything in this house. I'm the only one that does anything in the church. I have to do it all. Well, why are you so upset? It's because we're evaluating what others are doing. Think about how effective the church can be when all of us find joy in serving God. If there is a need in the church, instead of begging for volunteers, wouldn't it be great if we had to turn volunteers down? You know, oh, I'm sorry, we got too much help. I'm sorry, we got way too many people that want to teach Bible class. We're going to have to turn you down. But, you know, we need to find serving the Lord as a joy. And now I want to look at a lesson from Mary. In verse 41, Jesus says to Martha, one thing is necessary. There's only one thing that is important. Mary has chosen that necessary thing. She has chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. The Lord said to Martha, I'm not going to take that away from her so that she can prepare a meal. How often do we feel that being still and knowing God is a necessary thing? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, you remember, you had 3,000 people obey the gospel that day. 3,000 became Christians. And what did they do afterwards? We read in verse 42 about what they did. They devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles and fellowship. They understood that there is one necessary thing. Too often, I believe we treat our gatherings as optional. Mary had chosen the good portion. She had chosen the most important thing. She had chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His words. Don't choose the urgent over the important. So often we hear about how, oh, well, we come to church only when there's nothing else to do. We pray only when something bad happens. We read our Bibles only when there's nothing else on TV. Jesus says there's only one thing that is necessary, one thing that is important. Sit at my feet and listen to me. Don't let the urgent squeeze out the important. And then lastly, I want us to learn a lesson from the Lord's rebuke. In verses 41 through 42, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. Notice how Jesus gently corrects Martha. He does not blame her for being concerned about the meal, but he's just refocusing her attention on what's important. He told her that she was worried and upset about many things. And in the process of being worried and upset, she is missing the boat on what was really important. The right choice was to put Jesus first and learn from Him while she could. I want you to know, the worries and cares of this world can choke out good hearts. You know, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, Jesus told that with the parable of the sower. You remember the sower, he's got the seed going out and it falls on all the different kind of soils. And then when we read about one of those soils, what happened? The worries of this world choked it out. What we have here, I believe, is a tug-of-war battle between serving and learning. And from what we can learn, I would say we need to have a balance of these two qualities. Martha was showing her love to Jesus by doing what? By serving. And Mary was showing her love to Jesus by talking and listening. And so here's the lesson. We cannot be so busy as Martha that we miss out on opportunities to grow our faith and learn more about Jesus. On the other side of it, we cannot spend all of our time learning and not serving. And so I would say there needs to be a balance between these two attributes. It's so easy to go to all the Bible studies, all the worship services, all the events, and go to everything that the church offers and then not have time to serve the Lord. So let's make sure that we have both learning and serving. So let me ask you this question today. Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Are you for Team Mary or are you for Team Martha? Now, I know what's going to happen afterwards, after the lesson. I know one of you is going to come up to me and say, well, Brother Isaiah, I think Martha was right. You know, after all, you can't just ignore all that work that needs to be done. Well, I understand. I would say you're right. And so in order to satisfy all the Marys and the Marthas of the church, I'm going to say this. We need to have a balance between these two important things. Let's not get so busy that we fail to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from Him. And also, let's make sure that when we serve the Lord, that we do it with joy. Today, if you are not a Christian, I believe there is a couple of lessons that you can learn from Mary and Martha. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel, if you are not a Christian, I would say you need to sit at the feet of Jesus. You need to sit at His feet and learn what the Bible says. Learn what Jesus says about what to do to become a Christian. Jesus says in order to be a part of Him, you have to believe in Jesus. You have to repent of your sins and you need to be baptized in order to have the forgiveness of those sins. Sit at the feet of Jesus. And then let me tell you this. Afterwards, when you obey the gospel, when you come out of that water, there's a great lesson you can learn from Martha. Find a way to serve the Lord. Serve Jesus of all of your heart. Find a way to get involved in the work of the church. Today, if we can help you in any way, if you need prayers from the church, we're here for you. You got wonderful leaders in the back waiting for you, and you have me waiting for you in the front. If we can help you in any way, why don't you come while we stand and while we sing?